Well, good morning. Whether you are here in person or checking us out online, we just want you to know how incredibly excited we are that you are here with us as we continue with part two of this series that is leading us towards Christmas that we are calling Missing Peace. And for every single one of us, if your life and your family looks anything like mine, during this time of the year, we wait with great anticipation for the crazy. Our schedules get crazy. And all of the gift buying and the gift giving introduces financial pressure into our life. And during this time of the year, as we experience all of those things closing in around us, the first thing to go in many of our lives, in many of our marriages, in many of our parenting, and even in many of our financial outlooks, is peace. And yet deep down, whether we like to admit it or not, if we were forced to be ridiculously honest, the one thing we may need most and we may crave most is the very thing that goes out the window first. Is that deep down we know and we would love to have just a little bit more peace in our lives. That we'd love a few less problems and a little bit less stress and a little bit less chaos and a few less charges on the credit card bill. That if we could wish for just one gift to be under the Christmas tree that would bring the most blessing into our lives, our marriage, our parenting, that gift would undoubtedly be peace. Far better than the Mercedes that they advertise with a bow on top that's waiting for you out in the driveway. And by the way, like if my wife had a Mercedes waiting for me, like that is not realistic. Guys, would we not be ticked if our wives were just like, surprise, a $900 a month payment for Christmas? It's better than the puppy dog. It's better than anything that could be wrapped up under there. The one thing that we crave is peace in our lives, and yet the one thing that we find most difficult to find when it comes to not just our Christmas season and the crazy that kicks in, but frankly, when it comes to the last 20 months of our lives on this earth, it seems like peace is one of those most difficult things for us to find. And for many of us, the biggest problem we have when it comes to finding peace is our relationships. I mean, seriously, right now, how many of y'all know somebody in your life who is just a little bit difficult to love? Like, hold your elbows to yourself. No amens when they're sitting right beside you. But every single one of us in this room knows somebody in our lives, in our marriage, in our parenting, in our families, in our in-laws, who is just a little bit difficult to love. And the best way that we know how to describe them is they're just a little bit or a lot bit crazy. Am I right? And yet the reality is, unfortunately, is that over the course of the last 20 months, the craziness has went to a whole new level, y'all. Like the world in which we live and the pressures that everybody's feeling has just taken the crazy in our lives and in our relationships up another notch. And the reality is because the crazy is so frequent in our lives and the people's lives around us, it seems like there's no chance to avoid the crazy this Christmas season. You see, for the last 20 months, the people you will gather with around the holidays and around your Christmas tree, every single one of them have been dealing with a heightened level of anxiousness, worry, and doubt, and a lack of peace in their lives. Every person we encounter walks into the room with a little bit of bitterness, and certainly walks in with a whole lot of opinions that they haven't gotten to share with anyone outside of their household for the last 20 months, just waiting to unload all of them on you at your next family get-together. And the crazy has been building to a whole new level in crazy Aunt Susie or your grandma who has absolutely no filter. And she just says whatever comes to her mind. Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's a scientific fact that as you get older with each passing year, your filter shrinks just a little bit. Your grandma doesn't have a filter. She's just going to say it. She don't care what you think. And the craziness just continues to build and build and build. And professionals keep making this statement. It's going to take us decades to know the extent of the damage that's been done by this pandemic on our world physically, mentally, emotionally. Y'all, we don't have to be professionals. You're going to get a clear picture of the damage that's been done around your Christmas tree this year when you gather with your family. Am I right? You see, the toll that every single one of us deal with in our relationships makes it difficult to navigate this search for peace in our lives. Even so, a couple Christmases ago, we all had a firm grasp on the things in which we don't talk about at our family Christmases to ensure that peace is present. A couple Christmases ago, we all knew that there were two things you never brought up at a family get-together. You never discussed politics, and you never discussed religion. Like, if you're going to meet her parents for the very first time, you knew, don't take the bait with her father and start talking about politics at the family get-together. But now things have gotten more complicated because all of a sudden we've introduced a third into the mix. Science. Y'all, 20 months ago, I didn't know a single person who was an expert in science. Now every pastor wants so is. It's like it only took one YouTube video or one podcast or one social media post for every single one of us, no matter what side of the line we fall on, to know to a T what the facts are and how science operates. And with all of that thrown into the bag of the craziness of our relationships, it makes it even more difficult to navigate, to find peace in the context of our relationships, to do life well when it comes to this relationship we have with our spouse or the relationship that we have with our kids, the relationship that we have with our in-laws, or the relationship that we have with our extended family. And because of everything that's been added to the mix, that everybody has an opinion, and everyone's opinion is right, and everyone is stressed, and everyone's tired, and everyone's a little crazy, there's this reality that you and I have to face head on in our lives. That in order for us to begin to experience peace in our relationship, the way in which we react and the way in which, that if you are on a continual search to be offended, you will find what you're looking for every time. That in your relationships with other people, if you are on a continual search to be offended, you will find what you're looking for every single time. And let's just be real. There is no win in being offended. There is no win in anger. There is no win in bitterness. There is no win in being the fault finder. All of those things only further rob you of the peace Jesus came to offer you. You see, the one thing we don't ever hear in our conversations with other people are statements like this. Man, my life is so much better because of the anger and the rage that I have pent up inside of me. I mean, my life is so much better. My marriage is so much better because of the bitterness that I've been harboring against her. We don't ever hear statements like that. That, man, Christmas with the in-laws was so good because the minute we walked out the door and we jumped in the car, I just started railing on my mother-in-law on all the things she did wrong at her Christmas to my wife in the car. All right, some of us are sick, and we think that's actually the fun part of Christmas. But there's no win in that, y'all. You see, in order for us to experience peace in our lives, it requires us to begin to find peace when it comes to our relationships with others. If we aren't at peace with somebody else, then we can't find peace with ourselves. And guys, let me just speak to y'all for a second because I'm a guy and I just have a right to speak into your life and understand you in a way women, I won't ever fully be able to understand you, and there's some things I just can't speak into. But guys, don't we know this reality? Like if you want to have a peaceful Christmas, do whatever you have to do to stay at peace with your wife. Right? Amen. Yeah. Right? That the moment the peace goes out the window in your relationship with your wife, the gathering around your Christmas tree on Christmas morning just isn't the same. The time you spend going to your in-laws and your family get-togethers is so much worse than what it originally was going to be if you've lost the peace with the person that you were meant to do life with, become one with, and be a partner in crime with. Whatever you have to do, find peace and keep peace in your relationship with your spouse. But what we know to be inevitable is this, is that as we gather with people, hurts will happen. It's a guaranteed. In our relationships with other people, there will be hurts. It doesn't matter who it is. Spend enough time with any person, and inevitably, at some point, there will be hurts that are introduced into that relationship. And sometimes it takes a little bit less, dependent upon the people. And sometimes it takes a little bit more time. But when it comes to crazy Aunt Susie, it only takes about 7 minutes in her presence for the peace to be broken. Work and spend 24/7 around them, and inevitably there will be hurts that are introduced into that relationship. There will be hurts that you feel in your life. And what I do with those offenses have to be shaped around this ridiculous truth, that being offended is inevitable, but living offended is a choice. Being offended, being hurt by another human being is inevitable in our time here on earth. It will constantly and consistently happen in every relationship we have. Why? Because we are broken, messed up people. I am broken, I am messed up. That is the only reason why I hurt my wife, who is absolutely incredible. That because we are broken and messed up, we bring that broken, messed upness into our relationship, and it spews over into us hurting other people. We will be offended, but living offended, reacting offended, responding offended is a choice we get to make. And the choice that we make with how we respond and we react to other people's offenses in our life will inevitably determine whether or not you experience peace this Christmas. A peace that few in this world are presently experiencing. That if you want what no one has, you have to do what no one's doing. That if we want more peace in our lives, we have to make a choice. That even though I've been offended, I'm not going to respond, react, and live offended in my relationships with them. But Ben, what do I do when people are driving me crazy? What will I do when I've had it up to here and I've reached my limit? What do I do when something hurtful has been said by my mother-in-law about how soupy my mashed potatoes are for the 7th Christmas in a row? How do I move forward and how do I begin to experience peace? Not just in peace is broken in that relationship. What we all know is this. It isn't like we leave the party and all of a sudden the peace is restored to our lives. No, we carry that and we harbor that and it begins to fester inside of us until it affects the next day and the day after that and the entire holiday season. And it takes time for us to break out of that funk where we've broken the peace in our lives and in our relationships. And so how do we begin to change our response and how we see things in order for us to experience the gift we want most and the gift that our God designed for us to have when he allowed his son to put on flesh and blood and to come into this world as a baby? To experience the hurts and the problems that you and I experience every single day in order to reintroduce peace into our lives and in our stories. And a guy by the name of Paul gives us some incredible insight on the steps that we have to take in our lives and in our relationships in order for us to experience peace again. We find it in this letter that Paul writes to the church in Rome. And this morning, we're going to spend an extended amount of time in this one passage, and we're going to read it, and then we're going to come back to it a couple of different times, and we're going to break it down. But Paul outlines what it looks like, the steps that we have to take in order to experience peace, not just in our relationships, but also in our own lives when other people drive us crazy. We find it in chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Here's what Paul writes. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. For if it is possible, for as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, if you're anything like me, As I read this passage, this is the moment where the English translation doesn't do this passage justice in my life and in my circumstances. That when we read this passage, and Paul begins the passage by giving us the instruction of bless those who persecute you, I read that first word bless, and I'm kind of like, what in the world does he mean? Like, is Paul talking about, like, if they sneeze, we're like, gesundheit, bless you? Is that, because I think I can do that? Like, I can say bless you to somebody else, but what's Paul really getting at here? And in order for us to understand the full extent of what Paul is really trying to say, it requires us to go back to the original language that Paul wrote this in. That if we go back to the Greek, which is what Paul wrote this in, or what his scribe wrote down what Paul was saying, what this original paraphrase, or what this original transcript was written into, what we find is this, is that that very word bless was this word eulogeo, eulogeo. And this word eulogeo gives us some insight into what Paul was actually asking us to do to those who persecute us, to those who give us backhanded compliments, to those who talk behind our backs, to those who want to stir up conflict, to those who are on the other side of the line in the debate from us. You see, what Paul was really trying to get at and instruct us to do to instill peace into our lives and in our relationship was this. You see, this very word is defined as to speak well of or to wish the best blessings for someone. Like, this is literally the instruction that Paul was giving us. That I speak well of and wish the best for those who talk badly about me. That I speak well of the family member who gives a backhanded compliment for the 12th Christmas in a row to me. That I wish the best for those who are on the other side of the love and wish the best for the back. Hang on, y'all. It's about to get real up in here. That I speak well of and wish the best for my ex. You know what Paul was outlining for us? That as Christ followers, when things get craziest, and relationships get most difficult, we are to be a constant blessing to those who are constantly difficult. That's what Paul was trying to say in this passage. That no matter how hard it is, you are to be a continual blessing to those who are a continual problem. But y'all, I get it, right? If you're anything like me, you're like, Ben, I can do that. It's kind of like the question that Peter asked Jesus, like, how many times do I have to do it? Like, 7 times, is that enough? Because I think if someone speaks poorly about me, I can look past it, I can get over it, I can speak well of them still, I can rise above it 1 time. Or I can put up with the constant troublemaker at the family Christmas parties for like 5 Christmases a row. But we've reached that point, and I've reached my breaking point, I've reached my snapping point. And I can't take it anymore. I can't do this anymore. Ben, how am I supposed to keep going? How am I supposed to continue to live in peace? It just seems like it would be a whole lot more peaceful to me if I just snapped and let out what was brewing inside of me. And in order for us to understand how we keep going when things are most difficult and how we continue to offer what may not seem fair to those who are continually difficult and a challenge in our relationships and our lives, it requires us to actually go back. For us to go back to the beginning of this very chapter and to understand the context of what Paul was trying to convey in our lives and in our world. You see, if we revert back to verse number 1, we get a clear picture of what Paul was trying to say of this. This is how, this is why you can carry out, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse those who seem to be against you, who have hurt you, who have stabbed you in the back, who keep saying mean things, who keep giving you backhanded compliments. This is how we follow through on that. Check this out. In verse 1, Paul started this entire chapter by saying this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Why? Because of all he has done for you. Let them, meaning let yourself, be a living and holy sacrifice. the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. You see, how do we find peace and live at peace with others? When people are driving us crazy, emotions, and yes, even our human nature, we sacrifice. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, the God of the universe chose to sacrifice what should have been human nature to not sacrifice. What felt wrong to sacrifice. Frankly, what was wrong to sacrifice. That while I was still offending, while I was still offensive, that's what Paul wrote just a few chapters before this, that while I was still sinning, while I was continually in the process of being offensive to my God, you know what he did for me? Went to a cross for me. Made it right for me. And because of what he did, as Christ followers, our goal should be to follow his example. To not always do what feels right. To not always follow our human nature. To not always do what seems fair. Do you know what maturity is? Maturity is not always doing what you feel like doing. Hello. Y'all okay? I see the lips. There's some amens going on out there. Maturity is not always doing what you feel like doing. And when I sacrifice my feelings on the altar of finding peace, this is what else Paul promises in here. When we are willing to do that, that is worship. Come on, y'all. Worship is more than a song we sing. It's a life we live. And when we're willing to sacrifice our feelings, our emotions, what we want to do, what feels best, what would be easier, on the altar of what's right, on the altar of what we need most, on the altar of what the world needs from us and the light it needs to see shine from us, that is considered worship with our lives and with our actions, that we are honoring and pointing back to God when we choose to follow through on this. And we choose to sacrifice ourselves because we're mature enough to understand this. On my own, I can't get it right. On my own, I will always choose to do what feels best to me. On my own, I will always choose what's easiest. But when I invite God into the picture, when I invite his son into my life, and I rise above that, and I do what's right instead of what's easiest, that's when we begin to experience something in our lives and portray something into our world that changes things drastically. And one of the keys to doing this is by checking ourselves, that we must look at ourselves through this lens and our actions and our responses through this lens and every interaction and every relationship and every family party we're preparing to go to. Right smack dab in the middle, the part that we like to fly through and brush over, Paul said this: if you really want to bless other people, wish the best for them. Speak well of them. This is what you must do. Do not be proud. Do not be conceited. That in order for us to experience peace in our lives, one of the very things that we have to let go of is pride. Because do you know where that voice inside of you that says, you have to be right, you always have to be right, comes from? My pride. That voice inside of you that says, you have to get the last word to look smartest. Do you know where that comes from? My pride. And Paul is saying you can't hold on to that and hold on to peace at the same time in your life and in your Christmases. And you see, what if the framework of our conversation shifted drastically this Christmas? And it shifted in this way. That in every conversation we have, we begin to listen not to respond. We begin to listen to understand. What would change if in our conversations with the people that we love and the people we disagree with, that we stopped listening to respond and we started listening to understand? And what we began to experience is this, is that in our lives, when we seek understanding, when we seek to see things from a different perspective, our influence and our ability to impact significantly are on. If we stay people who are only willing to ever see and understand things from our perspective, our impact will always be drastically reduced. Will always be drastically limited. See, we live in a world and we have relationships with people who desperately need us to enter into conversation seeking to understand, not seeking to respond. And when we do that, we'll begin to encounter this truth that y'all have probably heard me say at least a half a dozen times. That you don't understand because you don't understand. You don't understand why they believe that way because you don't understand who they are. You don't understand what they've walked through. You don't understand the struggles that they've been through. And in order for you to fully understand what they believe, you have to understand who they are. You have to hear what they're trying to say and listen. And put it through their lens of their life. And let's just be clear about something, y'all. I can nix a few of the hate emails that I'm going to get on this one. This doesn't mean changing what you believe. It doesn't mean that you switch over to their side. It doesn't mean that you agree with them. It simply means that you are approaching the conversations desperately trying to understand. And let me just do my best to get rid of the other 15 hate emails that I may get. You see, what I'm talking about here aren't things that are detrimental to our faith and disagreements. We already established this, that we're not talking about politics and religion around the Christmas tree, right? And most of our family get-togethers. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the disagreements that happen because of mean things that are said. The disagreements that happen because you find yourself on one side of the debate or the other side of the debate. Because of the backhanded things that were said or the lack of the filter that that person keeps giving you words that are hurtful or stabbing you in the back. That's what we're really talking about here. You see, in our lives, everyone has, except for those of us who want to follow Jesus better. Why? Because Jesus didn't tell us to be right. Jesus told us to be loving. Jesus never said, they'll know that you're my follower because of your rightness. No. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple by how you love one another. By how you treat one another, by how you respond and react to one another. You want to find a little bit more peace this Christmas? It means calling out what is the truth, and the truth is this, is that Satan wants you to operate in your life and in your Christmas in isolation. He wants you to operate in your life divided from other people, so frustrated and anger and bitter with others that you begin to believe that life is best done by yourself. And the reason that he wants you to operate out of isolation is because he knows that's where he works best in your life. And the best way that he knows how to get you to isolation is by doing this, is by allowing every single one of your relationships to be defined by accusations. You see, he wants you to live much like I fall into the habit of living. And that's this. I judge myself based upon intentions. I judge all of y'all based on actions. Like, when I make a mistake, I don't get something right, I show up late. Man, they know my heart. I didn't mean that. I had all of these other reasons. But as soon as somebody else does that exact same thing, we judge them solely based on their actions. We don't stop to consider maybe they had all the same things that would have been our excuses going on in their life. And they didn't intend to hurt us. They didn't intend to continually live in our relationship based upon their actions, not necessarily their intentions. But Paul gives different advice. In his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote this: "Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." We make allowances for other people's faults because of our love. You see, we don't have to be right. As Christ followers, our time here on this earth, and the debates and the arguments, we don't have to be right. We do have to be loving. That's what's been instructed. That's what's expected of us. And one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth, King Solomon, wrote this in Proverbs chapter 19. "For a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense." A person's wisdom yields patience in their relationships. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. And this word in the Hebrew that we go back to that Solomon uses in this passage, to overlook, it is such a ridiculously powerful word for the way in which we look at how we respond and react to offenses in our lives. This very word overlook in the original Hebrew language is defined as to pass over. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It doesn't mean that what that person did wasn't wrong. What it does mean is this, that as Christ followers, we become people who are mature enough to pass over it, to rise above it. And that this Christmas, in the chaos and the stress, that when your spouse makes a mistake and they don't get something right, and maybe the thing that I need to give you permission to do is just to say it out loud, to hold yourself accountable. Is that we're able to say to that person, "Honey, I'm going to overlook what you just said. I'm going to overlook what you just did. Because we've got to squash this. I'm going to rise above this. We're not going to let this linger. I'm not going to let this fester inside of me. We're not going to let this become a division in our relationship. I'm just overlooking it. I'm passing over it. Please don't do it again. But this time, I'm rising above it." Because that, in all reality, that is what the world we live in desperately needs. You know, maybe the reason we live in a world that is so void of peace is because we live in a world that is so void of overlookers. Hello? Y'all okay? That we walk through this life clinging to every feeling, people who are capable of making allowance for other people's faults. Instead of biting our tongue and not having to be right so that we can be loving. And not responding back to Crazy Aunt Susie, because frankly, Crazy Aunt Susie didn't even know she said something that was hurtful, and she's so old that she's not going to change now anyways. So it's not worth messing up your peace or her peace to step in and to create conflict in that situation. See, when people drive you crazy, as a Christ follower, remember what shows other people Christ. Your reaction, your response, the way in which you listen is how we show other people Christ's love. That's the steps we are being called to take. And frankly, we all know this from our interactions with others. People don't even care how right you are until they first know how loving you are. Am I right? I don't care what you think until you've proved to me that you're loving, that you're respectful, that you're listening. And we don't often equate that with that's what everybody else is thinking as well. You see, there are way too many of us, myself included, who walk through our Christmas seasons ignoring this truth. That love doesn't seek to win the argument. Love seeks to protect the relationship. That when it comes to priorities, love doesn't seek to win the argument. Love seeks to protect the relationship. That truth is encompassed in what Paul chooses to finish this passage off with. This passage that could change our lives, our relationships, our responses, our reactions this very Christmas around our Christmas trees with the people who are driving us the craziest. You see, Paul finished it in this way. In verse 18, he said, if it is possible, as far as don't worry about anybody else, you can just control you. Just worry about controlling you. Live at peace with everyone. You see, if you want to have peace, but you're also mature enough to want other people to have peace this Christmas, we have to change the way we interact within our relationships. Don't be prideful. Pride tells you you have to be right. You don't. Remember what Solomon said? You actually get more glory in your life when you are willing to overlook an offense. This is the very reason why our human nature can't be trusted, because our human nature constantly communicates to us the way in which you get the most glory is by being right and making sure everybody else knows you're right. And Solomon says, no, that's not the reality at all. That's not the truth. The way in which you experience the most glory in your relationships on this earth and in your eternity, the way in which you shed the most amount of light into a hurting and dark and broken world, is not by trying to be right, but it's simply by trying to be loving. And every time in our relationships, in our conversations, in our disagreements with our in-laws, or whatever it may be in your story, every time we give in to our feelings, our emotions, and we try to be right instead of being loving, we give somebody else, we give that person power to rob us of the peace that Jesus wants us to experience in our lives. And let me just finish with this question. Aren't you tired of giving other people that kind of power in your life? Aren't you tired of allowing somebody else across to give you? See, our peace has been missing for far too long. And this Christmas, in the midst of the craziness that is 2020 and 2021, peace is possible, even when people drive you crazy. But in order for us to experience that peace, we have to start acting like nobody else is acting. We have to do what nobody else is doing. We have to respond in a way that's counter to what our human nature tells us feels right. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you again and again and again throughout this season especially, but as Christ followers, may be it the cry of our heart throughout the entire year. And we thank you for what Christmas means. It was the beginning of the sacrifice. You knew what was coming as soon as you allowed your son to come to this earth. God, we thank you for giving up what was most precious to you to reintroduce peace into our lives. God, that free gift, we only get to open it and experience it when we're willing to fight back our own human nature, to rise above it, to act in contrast to our feelings and our emotions sometimes. To put our pride away to stop trying to be right and start trying to be loving. That's where we experience glory in our lives. May we have the courage and in our relationships. It's in your name that I pray.